The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gillen.
Friends, thank you so much for being with me one more time today on Afternoons with Mike. It is my joy to have in studio, socially distanced, as we are doing in these days, Robert Leatherwood. Welcome back to the studio, Robert.
Mike, this is a pleasure for me. I am so glad that we can be together today.
Now, the last time you were here, you saw it kind of in its seed form. It was being constructed, and things were not nearly as put together as they are now. It's a beautiful place I get to work in every day up here,
it
man.
It is beautiful. It's immaculate, and it's just pristine right now, no doubt about it. Everything's updated. It looks great, and you're right. Last time I was here, I think the doors had been open and under construction in maybe a week or two.
Well, I tell you what, it's a lot different now, and the day will come, we're in faith, that we'll all be able to be gathered around in the main studio here. You're outside those doors, but I have these wonderful three stations in the main studio that will one day, Lord willing, be able to be occupied by people like yourself and maybe even others at the same time and doing a live radio program. That's something we're looking forward to. And we pray that as God gives us deliverance from this crazy coronavirus, man, that day will come. Robert is a leader in so many ways. You have your own ministry that you do. You tell again the folks what it is that you do with regards to your job and then your ministry and then your passion is employing all of those things.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, I'm kind of a strange kind of a guy because I work for a ministry and then I do my own ministry on top of that as kind of my hobby. But I work with International Cooperating Ministries, ICM. You can go on the website. We are the premier church, global church developer. So we primarily resource the Third World Church with two core competencies. We're resourcing the Third World Church with houses of worship. And the key there is that we help Third World churches build themselves a church. And then we also come along beside them and put audio Bibles and audio Bible lessons with solar powered MP3 players. So literally, We're able to get the gospel, you know, in parts of the world where nobody would ever have a chance.
What would be some of the countries that you're doing this in right now?
Oh, we're in 90 countries.
Oh, my goodness.
We're all over Africa, all over India, all over, I mean, 90 countries, South America, Latin America, you've got it.
Oh, that is wonderful. And using technology in ways, now, I would imagine that some of these third world citizens, third world country citizens would probably have never seen such technology before.
This is very exciting. Some of the tools that we're using are very cutting edge. Like I said, we use a solar-powered MP3 player that we give three of these to every churches that we build. So when we partner and they build themselves a church, they're also knowing that they're getting this tool. Most of them are loving it. They're thinking, you have something to help us. And the reason I keep saying it's an audio is because most of the world that we're trying to reach is illiterate. They simply cannot read or write.
That's
so
right.
It's the right tool for the right time. They don't have the ability to get batteries. They can't go to the 7-Eleven and buy something. They can't plug into the wall. They can turn it over and let it sit in the sun for 6 hours and it'll play for 3 hours at night. So this is one of the technologies that we're using, but we're doing something even more exciting than that right now, Mike. Let me tell you what we're doing. We're on the cutting edge of something called Smart Church.
Okay. What is that?
Smart Church. Let me tell you what we're doing. We're actually putting a hotspot library in. We've just perfected this technology. The next 18 months, we're going to be retrofitting all 9,371 churches that we have in 90 countries with a hotspot, a library. So what that means is that a lot of times you'll find in third world, they do have cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have Wi-Fi. And they don't have the ability to get connectivity. Well, now they can take their smartphone to their church and it'll be able to download. It's a church library. We actually control what's on that content. It's all in their language, but they can show up with their phone and they can download the Jesus film. They can download the Bible. They can download Genesis, the lessons from Psalms, all of it's right there. So it's really cutting edge, because now anybody in the community can come to the church with their smartphone and begin listening to these programs.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, you mentioned the Jesus film, which obviously that is something that's a tool that's been used from Campus Crusade and Crew now for many, many years. And the thought, you know, I have these images of pictures that I've seen, clips on film of people watching, you know, maybe on a screen that was set up in a village in some like remote place in Africa or whatever. And they've got a 16-millimeter projector. Nowadays, you're saying that can happen on a person's smartphone. That is amazing.
It can, and it does. And we're also equipping each of our church buildings. All right, so we got this congregation. They've been given a church building, and they've also been given a projector. We've got a projector about twice the size of my phone here. It's that small. And it already has preloaded on it the Jesus film. And what our churches are doing, instead of having the people come inside, remember how you're thinking about putting up that portable screen?
Yeah.
They're actually using one of the walls of the church. So they'll actually throw the Jesus film up on the wall of the church, and the whole community can sit outside and watch and enjoy this.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
It is.
Now, you mentioned that people in these countries already have a smartphone, but they don't have the 4G or the Wi-Fi that's attached with it. So they have cell phone or cell towers, I guess, that have been erected. Otherwise, the phone wouldn't be operable at all. But now they're going to be able to use, the way Americans are able to use, the technology of Wi-Fi and the networks that they can connect to and all of that.
Sure. It is a hotspot. So you have to realize it's different. You're not able to connect to everything on the web.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very exciting because we control the content. It's a church library.
It's like a channel then.
Yeah. They're able to dial into that channel. They can get Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. We got little cartoons for kids. We've got visual aids. We've got it all.
That is amazing. And that's going on in all 90 of the countries.
What's happened is we've been developing this and working with the technology for about 18 months now. We've got to a point where it exists. Even in the third world, let's just think of Africa. I want you to think of Serengeti. I want you to think you're out in the boonies. We have a solar panel, a little 2x2 solar panel that goes up on top of the church, and that powers the hotspot.
Oh, my.
And if you don't need that, then you can just plug it in. And you know, there's plenty of churches out there where in major cities that don't need the solar power. But we've also solved that third world, okay, we're in the boondocks, we're in the real village.
Don't need electricity because you've got the solar power. And and they've got a lot of sun in some of those countries. So that works really well. That's really a great report, Robert. And that's so encouraging. Imagining how, we were talking about this before we recorded today, the importance of understanding the Word of God, how that it is different than any other communication. You know, you can go in, you could have a baking show, you could have a fixer-upper type of show of how to fix, you know, your house and all that. But there's no communication that's even in the same league or in the same universe as the Word of God, because it was given to us by God and it is profitable to us in our lives in all sorts of ways, for doctrine, for living, for correction, all of the ways that we put the Word of God to use in our life.
This is why we have two core competencies. Core competency number one, we're supplying them with houses of worship. Number two, we're supplying them with audio Bible lessons. So I just told you about the hotspot, but we got multiple platforms. We do have the solar-powered MP3 players. These are distributed to the church, and what's on it is the Bible and Bible lessons, all audio.
That's amazing.
And the reason this is exceptionally important is that one of the greatest needs of the church, when I think of the church, global church, we have over 1 million untrained pastors in Africa. We have over 1 million untrained pastors in China. And we need them to be able to get some solid teaching. Mm-hmm. They need the Word of God, and they need solid teaching on the Word of God. And so ICM is a ministry that God has raised up to do those types of things. So let me just tell you how this works out. So if you're a pastor and you've been given some of these MP3 players, we're asking you to raise up 10 small group leaders. So now they're listening to this. Now, the worst possible scenario is that the pastor doesn't give them out to his church leaders. In one case, The pastor didn't hand them out to his church leaders because he was listening. And then he was preaching it on Sunday morning as the all great and knowledgeable kind of a guy who's teaching this really cool stuff. The people were still getting the material. But ideally, what it is that that church is going to, that pastor is going to raise up, you know, Sunday school teachers mm-hmm. is what we would call them, but they're mentors, they're leaders who can lead a small group, who know how to use the Bible and navigate back and forth with the Bible lesson and ask questions.
This is amazing. I don't think I've heard just exactly this same application from any other group like this. So this is relatively new, a solar-powered MP3 player.
You got it.
Have you seen one of these?
Oh, yes. I carry them around with me. I got them in my car right now. It's part of my demonstration. When I'm, listen, what I do for ICM is I am a development officer. I'm a fundraiser. I'm a fundraiser for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And instead of helping people adopt, you've probably heard of World Vision, mm-hmm. Compassion. You know, sure. You're going to adopt a third world kid. I help people adopt an entire third world congregation. I help people adopt a pastor. And when you adopt this congregation, now all of a sudden you have a chance to equip them mm-hmm. with the Word of God.
Wonderful. That is very exciting. Give us the website again.
ICM.org, www.icm.org. There you go. Go on to that website. It's a beautiful website. Mm-hmm. I promise you it's as well done as any that you'll find out there. One of the quickest ways to get to know the ministry is to go to the website, click on resources, and at that point there's a number of videos that kick up. You can watch a little two-minute video. There's one called Why ICM. 2.5 minutes, you'll know exactly what this ministry does and why we do it.
Are there videos about this MP3 technology on there yet?
Sure.
We've
got a couple of those as well.
I got to see that. That's so cool. Talking to Robert Leatherwood. Robert's, I think you're still living in the Tampa area, right?
For the last 28 years.
Yeah. So you're in Central Florida throughout different sections because you meet with people. And Robert is a very contagiously enthusiastic kind of guy. I like it when I'm around. I get energized because you're just one of these guys that you're up early, as I recall.
Oh, yes.
Every day you're reading the Word of God. You're helping other guys learn to do the same. And that's something that I think is so admirable about you, is that just like that illustration that you've given us, we're not supposed to have something just for our own personal use. Yeah, freely, the Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. And that's why I like being around you, Robert. You're one of these guys that you're contagious in that giving away what God's given you.
Wow. Thank you, Mike. You know, you've just kind of turned the corner for me here because I work with ICM. That's what I get a paycheck for. And mm-hmm. that's my joy. I love doing it. I've been with them for 17 years and I don't really want to leave and I don't plan to leave. But in addition to that, God has given me a ministry, I call it my hobby, of mentoring men and working with something called greatwithgod.com. And Great with God is all about what you just said here, because we actually have a responsibility to pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's been entrusted to me must be entrusted to others. And I see a church full of men who are capable of mentoring, who just need a little bit of help. So part of what I'm doing is I'm equipping men who want to mentor,
mm-hmm.
who would like to be mentoring, but they just need a few. How do I get somebody to mentor? What is the dynamic of that relationship? How do I add value? Where do I start and where do I go next?
I think that is a question that every believer, especially a new believer, has in the beginning. How do I grow? We see other people, and I think it's kind of human nature. I think you would agree with this, that a new guy, a new Christian comes and he looks at where he is, and then he looks at somebody that he admires or maybe somebody that's in his church, and he goes, ha, I could never get to that level. I could never be like Fred is or John or whoever it might be, but that's just not true. And he needs that encouragement. He needs that help. He needs the basic tools
sure.
to get to where he needs to be in Christ.
He not only needs the tools, but what I'm saying is he needs the role model.
Yep.
More, we say it this way, when we talk about mentoring, we say more is caught than taught.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And we've
like
all heard
it.
That. It's been said over and over again. I stole it from whoever I heard it from, but it's just true. And some of the great mentoring that's happened in my life is because men have poured their life into me And I've watched them and I've observed them for years and years. I watch how they treat their wife. I watch how they treat their kids. I watch how they do business. I watch how they, I'm watching all the time. I'm watching how they love the Lord. I'm watching. So this is, you know, what you're talking about is so important. And it's really the crisis of our day, because with all the quarantining, is anybody meeting? And we're not meeting. Like I have been legally meeting with my small groups. I've got three small groups that I'm mentoring guys a week. Mm-hmm. And so I still meet with my guys. I've met with them throughout Corona. We just keep all the rules. We wear the mask. We do social distancing, but we are meeting together. I tell you, it's vital. The scriptures say this. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Mm-hmm. It's like this. Meet together. It's required.
Yeah, that's good. You know, you're so right about more being caught than taught. There's a story. I'll share this before we take a break here. There's a story that happened with one of my kids. It was one of my daughters, and a neighbor boy was talking with her and just lit into her out of anger and started using, this is a young guy now, we're talking about a maybe under 12 kid, started using language like a sailor, as they would used to say. Horrible four-letter words, just calling her every name. My daughter was shocked. She came and told me. I went and got the neighbor out, and the neighbor was shocked to hear what his son had said. And he looked down at his son and he said, where did you learn language like that? And the kid looked at him and he said, from you, Dad. And I will never forget that moment, because that dad was, he was not expecting that. But when it hit him hard, like bricks right in the head. I'm telling you, he looked like he was shocked. And he goes, oh, you did you? And then what could he say? I mean, that kid had caught something that his dad had not intended to teach him, but it was caught.
You know, another illustration of that. That's a beautiful illustration. Same one. But, you know, we used to tell people, you know, you want to educate your kids. I mean, if you're a Christian out there and you're thinking, I want to be a godly parent, I need to teach my kids the right thing. He says, what you can do is this. You can take all of your family, let's just say you got two or three kids, and sit them down in the living room. And I want you to tell them, you know, here's the conversation you need to have. You say, mm-hmm. you know what I want for you kids? I want you guys to watch TV the way I watch TV. And I want you to treat your mother the way I treat your mother. And I want you to go to church and react to God the way I react to God. And I want you to watch me how I spend my finances, because that's how I want you to spend your finances. You know how I tithe? I need you to tithe. Here's the thing. You don't even need to have the conversation.
Because kids are watching.
You don't even need to have that conversation. Yeah. It is happening. You are literally mentoring and modeling for your kids the faith of Jesus Christ that you have.
That's powerful, Robert. Robert Leatherwood is my guest today. Always enjoy having this guy here, and we're going to be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. This is Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. In the studio with me, Robert Leatherwood from ICM, International Cooperating Ministries, and he's also the holder of his own ministry called Great with God. And I always enjoy having this guy come. I'm always envisioned, and I know that's something that he prays every day, that God would use him in such a way as this, that people who hear the simple but powerful word of God would be impacted. And boy, this whole thing that we've just talked about in segment one about more is caught than taught, really, it's really true stuff, man.
You know, there is the proclamation of the gospel through words, but there's such more powerful is the proclamation of the gospel through our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we're talking about this idea of mentoring, this idea of modeling. And I wanted to share with you an exciting story here about the man that I worked, the man who founded ICM, International Cooperating Ministry. His name is Doyce Rosser. He passed away in the last 9 months.
Oh.
At 98 years old.
Wow. What a full life.
At 98 years old, he was still showing up for work 5 days a week. He still had his strength. He still had his mind until the last 6 weeks of his life. But I wanted to tell you a story about him, because as we think about somebody who models, this is this is an incredible story. You're going to be blown away. I hope you're blown away. His daughter told me this story, mm-hmm. and she gave me permission to tell this story. So I met Doyce Rosser when he was 81 years old. And at 81, he was already telling a story and the world, and anybody who got too close to him, he'd tell them his goal in life was to die broke. This is a multi-millionaire type guy. Owned multiple car dealerships, owned 17 different patents, started 36 different businesses in his lifetime. This guy was worth a lot of money, but he's already at 81. He's thinking, and he's telling people, I'm going to die broke. That's my goal in life. I want to spend it all. I'm not going to have, I've already made arrangements with my kids to give them a little bit of money, but all of it's gone into the ministry.
You're right. Now, everybody that's hearing this, they're already amazed.
But here's what I want to say is that those were his words, but listen to his actions, because unknowing to his three daughters, he actually died broke. He put a reverse mortgage on his home.
Mm.
In other words, without telling anybody, he didn't tell his kids what he is doing. He says, this is my property. I'm going to do with it exactly what I want. He put a reverse mortgage, took that money, put it into the ministry of building churches around the world. 2 weeks after his death, a little post-it note was put on the door where his daughter reads for the first time, this house is being repossessed. They didn't know. So he literally died not owning a home. It gets better than that. The man owned Chrysler dealerships his whole life. Every time I met him for the last 16 years, he was always driving a brand new Chrysler 300.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't own them. What he did is because if you've ever bought a car, sometimes you can buy a car with 3,000, 4,000 miles that one of the dealership executives have been driving. So it's a little square deal.
It's called a demo.
It's a demo. Well, mm-hmm. guess what he did? He was the demo driver.
Mm-hmm.
Because he owned these things.
Yeah, he was.
And so even at this point in his life, when he had sold his dealerships and he still had made an arrangement. So the car that was parked in his garage, he didn't own.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter had to, they called for it. Said, well, we need that demo back. And so he didn't own his house. He didn't own his car. And it gets better than this. His car was on empty. And she discovered this because as she was driving the car back to the dealership, it literally ran out of gas.
Oh, no.
Just so that she would connect all the dots together.
Now, some people are hoping that the kids were taken care of by this guy.
The kids were definitely taken care of.
I just want to make sure that's...
they need to hear that.
Yeah, they need to hear that.
They were taken care of. But he gave them a minimal amount of money. And he had a family retreat. He had a family retreat, yeah. And says, here's what I want you to know. You're getting a nickel. You're getting a nickel. I'm over exaggerating, but
right.
you're getting a set sum and here's what it is. And I'll tell you what I'm doing with the rest. I'm going to spend it on this ministry. And all three of the girls, you can read about their response in the book. I won't tell you. It's called The God Who Hung on the Cross. But if you're interested, you can get a copy of this just simply by going to the website, ICM.org.
That's an incredible story, man.
I thought you'd want to know that because we're talking about more is caught than taught.
Yeah.
At that moment, I learned more about the man than the things that he said.
Without a doubt, that where we and what we do with money is a better indicator of what we believe than anything that we say, than anything that we write about what we believe or anything that we speak to anybody else. What we do, some people said, I learned more about your passion for the Lord if you show me your checkbook, then I will ever hear from any book that you've ever written.
I think that is powerful, and that is true. And I just want to be clear on this because he literally took all of his money mm-hmm. and put it into the foundation that pays for the general administrative cost of this ministry. So he took all of his money. He died broke. He sold everything he had, put it in the family foundation. That family foundation pays for my salary and for the salary of all the staff members of ICM. Why? So that we could say 100% of your gift goes to building churches.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to resourcing them with audio Bibles because we don't take a cut of that.
There's no administration part.
There is administrative cost, but he pays for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not out of the gift that people give.
Not out of the
gift.
It's
100% going to that. Wow. Well, we are living in a day, Robert, where people, men here in America, men are being affected by the news We're being affected by the reality at our jobs. Sadly, I've heard more in the last, I would say, the last 3 months, 4 months, since all this pandemic and lockdown began, of people who are either furloughed or people who have had to go through cutbacks. If we're fortunate to have a job, and I'm grateful that I do, many people are maybe making less than they did before. But so just about everyone I know of has been impacted one way or another. And I think for a guy who works as much as you do with this thing of discipling men and helping men learn to grow, comes the question then, what message are you bringing to people when you're talking about discipleship, when you're talking about men following hard after God? What encouragement can you give them in a day like today?
Thank you. You're always asking such good questions. And this is why your audience loves you. I mean, your audience does love you. I mean, I've met you on several occasions now, and especially over the phone, and you're a man of God yourself.
Thank you.
It comes across in the way you present yourself on the radio. It comes across with the people you bring in. It comes across with the topics that you come. And people need a word of encouragement right now, because I really sense, at least, I think it's you. There's a fear that is pervasive in this country. We need a word of encouragement. How do we control fear? How do we stop fear? How do we channel fear? How do we, the opposite of fear is faith. We used to think that the opposite of faith was doubt. No, I think the opposite of faith is fear. And fear is being something that's been fed every day. If you're watching the TV, if you're watching the news, particularly every day, they're fueling the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it can become paralyzing.
Overwhelming. Yeah.
They think of some of the different things that are an outcome of fear, depression.
Yeah.
Hostility. Violence. This whole idea of paralyzing, I just don't know what to do.
Right.
All of these things are traced back to that one thought. This fear that's been embedded in our hearts. I don't even know what to do.
Well, I think what you said, it's really a profound thought to consider, that fear is the opposite of faith and not doubt. But if you look at doubt and you think about what happens when a person doubts, the natural physical response to that is to become afraid. Because when you're starting to doubt something, you really are now no longer not sure. You're no longer not confident, and those things are recipes for fear. Because if you're not confident that you're going to make it another day, what is the natural human response? It's to become afraid that you're not. And what are you going to do? That's really a true thing. So the antidote to fear is going to be faith.
So that's one of the questions I want to ask here, is how do we cultivate fear? No, I can't. We don't want to do that. I don't know if you can cut that one out, Mike. If you can, we'll just do a redo here. What you really want to cultivate is faith. And what's happening in our world today is that fear is being cultivated.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like what I call the replacement theology, or displacement thinking, or displacement strategy.
Mm-hmm.
The simple thing is we do need to stop the input. The eyes and the ears are the gateway to the soul. If you stir up fear, or you allow the news to stir up too much fear, then you have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn it off. You can watch something else. But this idea of how do we grow our faith? We need to constantly have, what does the Bible say? You got to know this. Faith comes by
hearing.
There you go.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've got to do is we got to begin into God's word. But there's a particular part of God's word that I want to suggest. We actually need to get into the image of God.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because as we begin to know, well, let me ask another question before I give you the answer. And that is this. How can you trust someone you don't know?
You can know about them.
You can know about them.
Yeah.
And that will.
It helps a little bit.
That helps a little bit. But probably the best thing you can do is to know them.
Yeah, to get to know them.
Yeah. And so You can't trust anybody you don't know. You have to get to know about them. You have to get to know them. So I'm just suggesting to you that we need to study the image of God. We need to know that he's our Father. We need to know that he's almighty. We need to know that he's all-seeing. We need to know he's omnipresent. We need to know he's loving. We need to know that he's just. We need to know that he is full of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And that freedom is core to who he is. You know, when is the last time God made you do anything?
Wow, that's a great thought.
God is committed to freedom. So sometimes we wonder why God allows us to suffer. Well,
yeah.
You know, he's committed to freedom even more than that, you know, and sometimes we do find ourselves, we have to be faithful in suffering. But all of that is found as we get a composite of the nature of God.
I think about the verse where he says, now there is before you life, you know, or death. Choose life. Choose what is right. You know, that's really true. I mean, Americans and everyone else in the world, for that matter, not just here in America, because I think Americans have really grown soft on this because we've heard it and somewhat we're not impressed the same way that a person in one of these third world countries that you go to that have lived in an absence of hope in every aspect of their life, and then someone brings the news of a savior, the news of the gospel, and that person's response is rapturous hope, joy, and faith, because they in America, we've heard it and almost like pushed away at the gospel so often that we are a bit inoculated, I think, against the good news of the gospel, and that's sad.
That is sad.
We're the most free, the most exposed to the gospel group in probably the world today.
Sure. And we are inoculated. Billy Graham, I once heard him at the, we did a crusade with him in the 90s in Tampa. And I don't remember any, I spent every day there. Mm-hmm. I took people there. And I only remember one illustration. And he says, let me tell you what's going on with most Christians. He says, "There, it's like an immunization. What is an immunization? An immunization is when you get a little bit of something that keeps you from getting the real something.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is what's happened with Christianity in America today, is that people are getting just a little bit of it so that they don't get the real thing.
Right.
And it's this whole idea. We're hearing that God is good. We're hearing that God sent Jesus Christ. We realize that there's Savior there. And all of a sudden, we've grown callous to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to just share that today that this is the exact hope that we're looking for, that we need to put our faith in him. We need to come back to him. And as we do, that's when you're going to find the peace returns because the peace goes away. And so what does the scripture say? Scripture says, perfect love casts out fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as you asked me earlier, what is a man to do, or what is a leader to do? We're supposed to be casting out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, I'll just give you a personal example here. What about my wife? You know, my wife and my kids. So if there's fear coming into their hearts, what I don't want to do is I don't want to dismiss that. I don't want to blow them off. I don't want to not answer them. Perfect love casts out fear. So I need to speak to my wife. I need to speak to my kids and say, listen, honey, I need you to know this. I want you to know that we are going to be wise.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be vigilant and we're going to trust God, you know, because we're going to be okay. We have a God who is almighty and he cares for us, and we're not going to be sloppy. We're not going to be lazy. We're not going to not comply. We're going to do what we can. But on the other hand, I need to look her right in the eye and says, honey, we're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
God is good and he's looking out for us and he's going to take care of us and he is almighty and he is our Father and he's our loving Father. So there needs to be reassurance. And sometimes, you know, I get tired. I don't want to reassure. I just kind of say, you know, you're over dramatic, honey. You're overreacting to this. That's not the right answer. That's not casting out fear. But if you'll just every single time, and I mean every day.
Hey. I think that's the natural response to what's happening to everybody today. Because if our eyes are only on the circumstances, that what, you know, it's like the old saying that whatever we feed is what's going to grow. And if we're feeding daily on the stuff that is negative and fearful, well, that's what's going to grow in our heart. But I think everybody does that. So that's what you're saying is that we need to be speaking over our wives, over our children, over our friends, over people that we're working with. We need to be speaking the confident words of God, the promises of the Lord.
The nature of God,
yeah.
The love of God, the commands of Christ, you know, and that's really the nature of my ministry. The ministry is called Great with God, and you can go there at greatwithgod.com. There's a little devotional guide. This devotional guide is a power-packed, it's a one-year devotional guide, 52 weeks, 52 of the most prominent attributes of God. So if you want to get to know God, here's a great little resource to dial into. Why? Because in 52 weeks, you will have studied all of the you can't even get close to
that. Yeah,
you will have gotten a small bit of the most prominent attributes of God are all revealed here.
That's wonderful. Robert Leatherwood, he is with ICM, that's International Cooperating Ministries, also Great with God. What's the website for Great with God?
GreatWithGod.com.
Oh, that's easy. GreatWithGod.com. Robert Leatherwood is my guest, and we're going to be back with him in a moment. You're in tune to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. In the studio today with Robert Leatherwood from International Cooperating Ministries, otherwise known as ICM, and also Great with God. Robert is a guy that he is in the Word on a daily basis. He's outlined before your daily regimen of getting up early, and you challenge men, you disciple, to do the same and to get up with you. And we're not talking about at the crack of noon here. We're talking about early in morning, and you're up praying. And, you know, we're living in a time, Robert, where I think that is going to be more important than ever before, that people really focus. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how easy it is in America to become inoculated. Mm. I was listening to a guy, and I love his voice, Philip DeCourcy. He's been on this program. He's a pastor in California. He has a program called Know the Truth, and he is an amazing Bible teacher. And he and his Irish brogue had a marvelous little analogy that people, he said, thinks they are Christians because they're part of a church. He says, but that does not make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage, he said, which is garage for us. Your garage makes you an automobile. And that is so true. And we've heard that joke about McDonald's and hamburgers. But the truth of that old cliche is not lost in the cliche. We think at times we are farther along in God than we are. And the danger it could be in America is because we are living in the land where so much of the gospel has been presented for so many years by so many voices on television, on radio, and we're doing that on radio.
Yes.
But we know that it's not this broadcast that is going to, it's not the airwave that's going to change a heart. It's going to be what is said if it's the word of God. So we've got to get back to that very basic, the truth of the word of God. And we're living at a time where we're being told by governments, we're being told by protesters, we're being told by so many different voices that we live in a country right now that is, it's close to anarchy right now.
You are so true. It's frightening what's happening with our country. And you know, you try and find out what the answer is. Well, God is the answer, and return to God is the answer. And
yes,
the church has to step up to the plate and preach repentance to the church first. And also this whole idea of we've been talking a lot about faith. And some of the things that you just said here are striking my mind, because sometimes we've heard the verse that says faith comes by hearing, and it does, and we need to cultivate that. But another part of cultivating faith is cultivating that dynamic relationship with God, a living relationship with Him,
mm-hmm.
not just with the Word. Yes, the Word, but there's another dimension of faith that comes. Why? Because I've been with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been with Him in the prayer closet, because I've been with Him in intimacy, because I've been with Him routinely. And so this is exactly the ministry that I do with men, is that I take a guy who's stuck in a rut, because that's my story. I was stuck in a rut. That means that I was born again. That means I was, at one time I was working at a church. I did that for 19 years, and reading my Bible every day. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. On a church staff, reading my Bible every day and still in a rut. And it was when I met a mentor, because we've been talking about that, a man who mentored me into a morning routine. Because I can tell you how to have a morning routine, Mike, but if you'll join me at 6 a.m., you'll know what a morning routine looks like, because we will meet with God.
I heard years ago, Robert, the only difference between a rut and a grave is that the rut has both ends knocked out.
It's living death. You're right. You're just not living fullness. And I want to say that God is so excited about the proposition of you and him being best friends.
I like that. I did. I recently wrote an article that was in a couple of digital newspapers. The Apopka Voice was one. And I had been reading out of Psalm 37. And that, of course, verse 4 is that famous verse, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We all know that. But verse 3 spoke to me. Verse 3, it says, do good and love the Lord and befriend faithfulness. And that whole command right there, those words, befriending faithfulness. Now, when you think about it, that's exactly what you were talking about when you said God is excited about wanting to spend time and become friends with you. That's what happens when we apply the word of God, when we are in our prayer closet at 5 or 6 in the morning, whenever you're up doing that, whenever we're seeking the Lord, whatever it is, and realizing that God wants a personal, not just knowledge in your heart, but he wants a personal relationship with you. He wants you to become a best friend with his faithfulness and his love for you.
And that is created by, think about the people who are your best friends. How do you treat your best friends? It takes time with. You know, people often argue about whether it's quality time or quantity time, and the answer is always both. But I got news for you. You cannot develop the type of relationship that you and I are talking about here by something casual or by once a week or by once a month or 1 hour on Sunday morning. My relationship with my wife, it goes up. I've been married 34 years. Listen, mm-hmm. We've had some low spots. We've had some high spots, but I got news for you. When I invest my time, primarily my attention and my affection all go toward my wife, the relationship begins to blossom. I found for the most part, my wife's more interested in connecting than I have been. Sometimes I'm too busy connected with some type of a project or some type of work. But you know, if I'll back off and put my wife first, the relationship gets better. The same thing is true with God. You know, we have the habit of cultivating faith with God, mm-hmm. cultivating grace with God. Those are the habits that'll change your life.
They will. And when we get into that habit, that habit takes us out of that rut, that kind of like that existing. I think that's one of the things that people, it becomes a well-worn path, a rut. And it's, you know, I learned that we had a friend years ago, Robert, that lived in Central Florida, and he lived in an orange grove. He had built a home that's actually kind of right in the middle of several acres of orange groves, and you couldn't even see from the road. Couldn't even see the house because of the groves. But there was this, you would call it a dirt road. It wasn't a dirt road. It was a sand road. And it was all worn out. And so what would happen, because it was so sandy, the soil was so sandy there, that it would quickly, they would come out, they would grate that thing all the time with a back, you know, like a plow, and they would, a backhoe, and they would come in, they would grate it down. But it only took about 5 or 6 trips down that road with a car, and you'd get these ruts. And I noticed this thing about driving into his home, driving down that road. My car, I would try to avoid those ruts. But it was so easy for my wheels to slide back in into that well-worn path. It just happened almost automatically. You almost had to make a new road for it not to happen. That's what our life does, and that's why we have, that's the part of our walking after God that's discipline. A disciple is a learner under discipline. And I think in this context, a disciple is somebody who stays out of the ruts that are so easy to slide into.
You know, the way into a rut and the way out of the rut are can be defined by the same word, habit. You know, ruts are bad habits. And then we have to actually take the time to reprogram the right habits. And I even like to say, you know, habits will change the trajectory of your life.
Mm.
They have the power to alternate your destination. If you have your habits will predict your destiny. How do you like that?
Wow.
Whatever your habits
That's
are
good.
Will predict your destiny. Mm-hmm. So if we get the wrong set of habits, we can just know that we're going to end up right where that rut takes us. But if we will pay attention to the habits of transformation. Now, what I mean by that, there's all kinds of habits, but do you have a habit of transformational habit,
mm-hmm.
which means that I'm spending time renewing my mind in the Word. I'm spending time in His presence so that I can get my will under His will. I'm spending time with Him so that I can get my heart evaluated. And if I'm continually doing that, now that's called the habit. When you use the word continuous, I'm continually seeking Him. I'm continually making a morning routine with Him. Wow. Now that's a transformational habit that will change the trajectory of my life. It'll change my destiny.
You know, years ago, there was a guy, Larry Lee, he was a pastor, and I don't know, I'm not defending all of the things or all of the critics that would have issues with some of what happened in his life. But I tell you what, the guy spoke at a conference that I was at one time, and he spoke on 3D prayer, and I never forgot it. And it is exactly what you're talking about right now. He said, you've got to approach prayer with a 3D understanding. The first D was discipline. You begin in prayer, he said, by just the sheer discipline work, like a runner who gets up at 5 a.m. to run in order to get in shape. You don't want to do it. Your body's crying out. No, you may not even enjoy praying in the discipline phase. He says, but if you keep doing it, then you get to the next level, which is desire. Now, suddenly that habit is starting to form. You get past discipline. Now it turns into a desire, and you find yourself wanting that process of prayer. And then he said this, ultimately, when you keep doing and you push past desire, you get into delight. And that is when you've hit that relationship with God. I like that. 3D prayer.
That'll flat out preach. I'm not going to forget that. So I imagine the people who are listening to us right now aren't going to forget it either. 3D, it's discipline, it's delight, and it's desire.
That's it.
Except that I get it
actually
wrong.
Had them backwards. It's discipline, desire, delight.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that verse in, like I said, 37:4 there in Psalms. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
There's another one that says, in His presence is fullness of joy.
Yes.
Where is that? I think that hit me right
that
now.
Is,
is that in that 20 verse 11 maybe?
Here in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures.
Forevermore.
Yeah, yeah, forevermore, yeah.
But that whole simple thought of in His presence is fullness of joy. You know, I spent about 3 whole months meditating on that one verse. In His presence. Listen, if you're people who are listening out there, you're looking for joy. You aren't looking for the best joy, the fullness of joy. He says this, in His presence is fullness of joy. You're never going to find any experience on the planet that's going to match being in His presence.
That's Psalm 16, by the way.
16:11, maybe?
Yeah, 16:11. That's
it. There you go.
Yeah. Wow, that's so true. A friend of mine named Mark Altrogi used that and wrote a great song. I'm sure it can be found someplace out there on the internet, but that's exactly right. Psalm 16:11, here in your presence. And there's nothing like being, Robert, when you have broken through, you've gone from that point of hard work into your heart is softened, and now you're in that place. I love it. John Piper talks about it in the book, Desiring God. He has it. He said, few people are living on the mountaintop. We rarely ever get to live there, but we have either remembrances of times that are there. He said, most of us live in that third group, which is 2 steps away from the mountaintop. We want to be there. We feel dry. We feel disconnected. We feel like we're only able to remember those moments when we were in that presence like that. But we want it.
Man, I'm so glad you brought up John Piper. That was exactly what's going through my mind, because he says God is most glorified when we delight in Him.
Yeah.
And I know this to be true. But this idea of what you're talking about here, how do we capture that? And part of that is captured by the intentionality of getting in a small group, the intentionality of finding a mentor. Now, next time you have me, we should just talk about the whole time about mentoring, because there is this whole dynamic. You're not going to be able to develop the habits. You're not going to be able to develop, your faith is not going to grow to full maturity without a mentor. I mean, just think about it. I mean, we need mentors, help us go further, faster. That's what their role is. And, if you're out there saying to myself, how can I form this habit? Begin to look for a small group to begin. Pursue a small group. And if you can't do that, pursue a mentor.
And they can contact you by going to your website, greatwithgod.com, and get the tools for doing this very thing. Robert Leatherwood, it's always a great joy for me to have you on the program. And we'll have you back soon. And we'll do that. Talk about mentoring back when you're here in the studio once again. Friends, thank you, too, for being with me here on The Shepherd. We're here every day at this time. Hope you can join us next time on Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd Radio Network.